right, well, coming to you not so live from the Lunaweb Studios in downtown East Memphis, Tennessee. This is a social expedition.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
I'm Dave Barger.
I'm Ansley Fons.
I'm Rachel Smith.
And we are here trying to, I don't know, look at what's going on in this in the social realm. Sometimes it's blurry and sometimes it seems to come to a screeching halt, which gives us a little catch-up time. I'm kind of into it.
News seems to be slow.
It is. Now. Also, Mashable has changed their website, so...
Yeah, thank goodness, because now it actually loads on a browser.
It does, but not in the way that I would like it to.
Yeah, it's still not super pretty.
Mm-mm.
Is it kind of like when you go into the grocery store and they've rearranged all the aisles?
Yes.
And, you know, you're just frustrated.
That is exactly it. Exactly.
I know the feeling. So,
yeah.
You know, change is rampant, but, you know, it's not always welcome. You know?
Yeah. So, TechCrunch has my... eyes for now.
Really?
Yeah.
TechCrunch isn't very pretty either.
Well.
It's not, but the layout hasn't changed, so I'm used to it.
I'm a TechCrunch fan.
I think they do good news. I just, I don't think their layout is all that fantastic.
I think, you know, this is just, we both get to be right, because we're talking about personal preference here, so there's no argument to be had, but one of the things I like about it is it's just nice and clean, and it does seem to be quick to load, and if there is a lot more, if there's a lot of ads on there... I'm not seeing them.
Mm-hmm.
There may be count, you know, apples to apples kind of thing, but I'm not seeing them. They don't stick out to me like they do on Mashable.
Yeah, on Mashable, I don't know. They're a big portion of the home screen.
Yeah, but the navigation has changed. I can't find. I used to go to this one spot to, you know, catch up on my news, and it's not there anymore.
Huh?
And I can't find it.
Yeah.
I think because they used to have it categorized by, you know, Foursquare, Facebook, Twitter. So if you were looking for a news in that particular realm, you could go directly to that link and everything was there, but now it's all filed under social media.
You know, it used to be a big merchandising ploy, you know, to get people lost in your store and they'll find and run into stuff that they didn't intend to buy and, mm-hmm. and they actually walk out with more things.
Right.
It doesn't always work online.
No.
No. It's like being cold in a restaurant. Have you heard that one?
No.
Yeah, they make it cold in restaurants because you'll eat more.
That's what happens to me.
Yeah.
I'm always cold in restaurants. I mean, I'm always cold. So.
I had lunch at Huey's today, and I was freezing. I probably ate my normal amount, but I was cold.
Did you spit the toothpick up at the...
I tried. I'm not good at that. I have asthma. Yeah, no one got it up at the ceiling, so...
Did they have any social check-in kind of stuff going on there? You know,
not like any rewards.
You know, rewards?
No, but the venue's there, but no check-in.
Are you just checking in on Foursquare?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know Gowalla has that option where it'll check in at other places now.
Right, and I was using that, but mm-hmm. I have the updated version on my iPad, and I've yet to update the Gowalla on my iPhone.
Speaking of updates and changes and all that kind of stuff, I'm a little update averse. For example, I have yet to update my iPad.
I haven't either.
Is that just from sheer not having the time or not caring to? Or
I just never do the updates ever. I mean... I do, obviously, eventually, but...
It seems to me that like anytime I connect my iPad or an iPhone or an iPod, any device up to Apple, you know, through with the hardware, something bad goes wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like it does. And so I don't even... I avoid that.
Interesting.
Train.
Yeah.
I haven't noticed a huge... I did update my iPad, mm-hmm. and I haven't noticed a huge difference. You know, there's a... It still seems like every time I open a web page that's been closed for a minute, you know, it has to reload it and take that time. You know, and it will run Pandora in the background while I do other things, but that's pretty much all I'm using it for, because I'm not switching back and forth between tabs. It's still not super convenient to go, you know, from this application to that application.
Mm-hmm.
You can double tap the home button now, and it will give you a little dock that rises from the bottom that's got your running apps right now, but I just never think of it. It's just something about the tablet platform hasn't said, use me for multiple things at once yet.
Oh, okay.
So,
as long as it does music, you're okay with the single task.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But, you know, if I came to rely on it more, you know, I know that you, Dave, use yours a lot more than I use mine. You might find utility in doing the upgrade. I think it'd be worth it to you. I think you should.
What appeals to me the most, that I feel like I'm missing out on the most, is the organization of the folders.
Oh, I hate those.
Really? I mean,
I lose things.
My wife has that on. She's updated her iPhone, mm-hmm. and she has that. And it's like, oh, that's nice. And then, of course, Ansley, you show me your iPad, and you've got that organization there with the the different kinds of folders, and that appeals to me as well. And of course, Ansley, you've got your update going as well, and I think, you know, you've shared that with me, and I've I admire it. I'd like to have that, but not enough to risk being out of an iPad due to some kind of malfunction when I try and upgrade.
Well, I mean, if it's a software issue, then Apple will honor their warranty, I'm sure, if it's a software issue, with plugging it into your computer to the update.
And I got to tell you, though, when you use something day in and day out, even though there's a parachute there to be had, and, you know, oh, they'll take care of it, being out of something that, you know, right now we're really busy. Everything's kind of mission critical right now. I don't want to be out of that iPad. I don't have a backup iPad to use.
Yeah.
So speaking of, you know, you're talking about Pandora. You know, I was reading the other day, and this is very interesting, that automobile manufacturers are looking at, you know, apps and whatnot in their car, and I think it's Toyota is going to be having that Pandora, a version of Pandora in the car.
That's awesome.
You know, so I'm sure the XM radio type people are kind of wondering, uh-oh.
Right. Yeah, Pandora is just magical. Like, I don't even use iTunes anymore. I don't buy songs because typically if I can customize a station exactly right, then everything I want to hear is going to come on there. Mm-hmm. And I can, you know, toy between a few different stations and I get exactly what I'm looking for. So
that customization feature where it just finally tunes it up for you, I think is great. And I don't know about you guys. I don't mind the commercial on occasion.
No. And it's short. I think they, you know, realize that I'm listening to, like, you know, a lot of indie and young music, so I might like this TV show or this product. Almost always their commercials, when I notice them, are things I could be interested in.
Right now they think that I really want to go see the Ashton Kutcher and Natalie Portman movie, because I've heard that commercial probably 30 times in 2 days. So if it is targeted, I apparently need to.
Did I tell you about you know, I don't know why he's the roles that he plays, you know, on the screen and whatnot, but in real life, he's a pretty geeky dude.
Oh, yeah, because he's been to South by Southwest.
Yeah, I just kind of stalked him for a little bit, kind of stood nearby. I just wanted to hear him. Did he sound as silly as he did in, like, that 70s show? Or was he geeking out? And he was geeking out.
Really?
Geeks,
yeah. Well, you know, he had that long chain of commercials with, I don't know, Sony or someone.
He was in a bunch of camera commercials.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, while I was listening to him, my eyeballs were looking around to see if Demi was around.
Oh.
That was my real interest.
Of course.
Yeah. I maintain that she is not attractive.
I maintain that he is. He's just precious.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. I'm for it.
You know, so on the music type of thing, and in the car, you know, and being, you know, having wired up cars, I've got to give big kudos here again to Google and the Android for the voice recognition thing going on. I've been using that more and more. I've been using it for little updates, but yesterday I used it to send a whole email, like a paragraph at a time. I'd speak into it. And if it get it wrong, within one button's push, it would erase that whole paragraph and I could just re-record it. While I'm driving, I was responding to an email actually to Elizabeth Kwan.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
I've done lengthy text messages all in one go via the voice message app. And the only thing about it is when you're driving, you can say it, you can get to the text message and press the little microphone button almost without looking at it. But then you do have to look down and read it to make sure that it got it right.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing about driving. So still not necessarily recommendable.
Oh, okay.
For on the road. But goodness knows, Dave, it's a little bit terrifying driving with you. Before maybe this voice thing happens.
Speaking of, have you checked out the Drive Safely app? I have not.
DriveSafe.ly.
Yeah.
There's also another one. I just read about it, and it's $4.99. The Drive Safely one is free, but I downloaded it, and it wasn't super user intuitive.
So we're talking Android View?
Ainsley is.
Oh, they're both available for Android, but I know Drive Safely is also available for iPhone. But there's another one. I can't remember the name right now, but I will look it up. But it's $4.99 on the Android market, but that one might work a little bit more easily. I had some trouble with Drive Safely, just getting it set up.
Actually, I haven't checked it out. I mean, I know about it, and I've read some things about it.
But what are the big features of this Drive Safely?
I believe the concept is just, you know, you can sort of like have this app running while you are driving, and if a text message comes through, or even a phone call maybe, that it'll automatically, you know, send an automated response back saying like, hey, I'm driving, I'm trying to be safe and obey Oprah, you know, something to that effect. So, so yeah.
You can customize it, so you don't have to have anything about Oprah in there.
And it's not. I'm just going along with her. What is her campaign? No, she's really into that. Like, she talks about that on her show.
It's dangerous.
It is.
And slap myself on the wrist every time without taking my hand off the wheel every time I text while I'm driving. But the other one actually is more geared towards parents who, like, install it by, spend this $5, install it on their kid's phone, and this app actually detects when you are traveling more than 15 miles an hour, and I think it comes on automatically. Now, I think there's a button you can press that says, you know, I'm a passenger in this car, and then you get the use of your phone back, but, like, it will automatically turn on when you're going more than, like, when you're traveling at more than 15 miles an hour. Because it assumes you're...
Interesting.
You're driving.
Okay.
You should check that out, Dave.
I'll have to pass it up. I'm going to wait. I'll be waiting for the...
It's when Dave gets most of his work done on his commute.
I'll be waiting for the app that... The upgrade to the voice recognition app that reads back to you its interpretation of what it thinks you said. That way you don't have to look. I'm sure they'll have that soon enough. I think this year we're going to see a lot of distraction-type apps and things, add-ons for our cars, apps and whatnot. It definitely seems to be going that way. And here we are, just over 2 weeks, not even quite 3 weeks into the year, and there's already a lot of conversation about these things. And so that's good to see. And so speaking about driving around and checking into places and whatnot, now would be probably a great time to break over to that interview with Aaron Prather with Stickered. Well, today we welcome Aaron Prather to the Social Expedition.
Hey.
Welcome.
Welcome.
So you are the penciled in title of the CEO of up and coming, what do you call it?
Stickered.
Stickered.
Uh-huh. And we do have a unique spelling for that. It's STIQRD. And the reason we went with that is because part of our business plan centers a lot around QR codes.
Thank goodness, man. I thought maybe you were going to do the whole Web 2.0 thing and leave out the vowel, but
no,
you got one in there. Thank
no,
you.
We got it fully built.
A little traditionalism goes a long way.
Yes.
Yeah. So, what is Stickered?
Stickered is a mobile application that's going to allow people to get rid of all those paper punch cards that litter their wallet and turn it into a easy-to-manage virtual wallet. For loyalty programs.
Okay. So a loyalty program without the paperwork, I guess.
Without the paperwork.
Okay. So all these little cards that I have that have three holes punched in them and I'm waiting to get to 10 for the freebie.
We're going to try and get rid of those for you and make it a virtual application that you keep in your cell phone, your smartphone, like an iPhone, an Android, and hopefully down the road any other like BlackBerry Windows-based.
Okay. And, you know, like I think if I looked at my wallet right now, I'd probably have three or four of these things.
And based on our market research, that is typical of the typical person that has loyalty programs. It's about 5 to 6 of those paper cards are in their wallet right now.
Okay. Let's say, for example, that I was a frequent shopper, so to speak, a loyal customer of Republic Coffee.
Uh-huh.
and say I had one of their cards. How would this work?
What's going to happen is you'll take our application, simple sign up for our service, so that not only do we manage Republic Coffee's loyalty program, but any other business that participates. So you will actually see all your loyalty programs in one spot. Republic Coffee will set up how they want their loyalty program to work. If on their current paper punch card, it's 5 punches and you get a free coffee, then we're going to have in the application, when you walk into Republic Coffee, you purchase something, you're part of their loyalty program, they're going to show you a QR code. You're going to scan that QR code, and boom, there is your first virtual punch on your virtual loyalty card.
Okay.
The next time you come back, you buy something, they show you the QR code, punch, you scan it, there's your next one. When you get to your fifth one, just like how you do a paper card right now, you'll get whatever their deal is. A free coffee, percentage off, whatever that vendor wants it to be.
I see. Okay.
So that's what we're working on. And as I said earlier, you're going to have all these vendors in one place. So you're not going to have to carry around those 5, 6 punch cards that you're carrying around.
Okay.
And the application will also tell you where you are in each one, so you don't have to flip through and lose them, forget about them. The application will be there. They'll always help you along.
Yeah. Usually I forget about them. Sometimes I'll find out that I've got two or three. I think three is my record for seeing that I already have, oh, three of so-and-so's punch cards in my wallet. Because, you know, maybe I don't go there that often, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So what are you guys doing this for, coffee? Or how are you guys making any money on this?
The vendors will pay us to manage their virtual punch cards for them. Okay. Because right now, when we did our market research with a lot of these vendors, their biggest thing with the paper cards is they couldn't keep track of them. They didn't know who was using them. They didn't know how many were out there in the wild. We're going to provide to the vendor a website screen that will show them all their loyalty customers, where each one of them stands in the program, how many times they redeemed it. So they're going to actually be able to see how well their loyalty program is working, something that they don't get with paper cards. Because when a person redeems a paper card, the normal thing that the person on the other side of the cash register does is takes it and throws it in the garbage.
Yeah.
They don't know who that customer is. They don't have any relationship with that person in any way, really, except, okay, yeah, you've got your punch cards all done, and now redeem it for me. And taking that a step further, where a lot of vendors get scared of those paper punch cards is, how do they know that person just didn't go outside and punch their own punch card and just came in a couple days later to redeem it for free?
Yeah.
So there's always been security concerns on that.
Sure, sure. So the wheels spin quite a bit here, and you know, I'm guessing there's all kinds of things that you could do with this. You know,
oh yes.
Like checking in to your favorite location-based app. You know.
Yes, and the whole thing is one part that we didn't mention before is one of the security features on these QR codes is they are location locked. And what that means is when the vendor gets their QR code for their loyalty program, we are going to lock it to their location. So if that QR code, someone steals it, it gets lost, whatever, it will not work outside of their location. So that's a security feature that the business owners will feel more comfortable with, because they'll know that, oh, some kid swiped my QR code, ran down the street, and just scanning it and doing my virtual punches.
Oh, yeah.
No, it is locked to your location, and we've actually done some early tests that are showing that we've locked it within 30 feet.
30 feet.
Of a location. And that's something that location-based services like Foursquare and Gowalla have had a hard time selling their services to vendors and businesses, because you can do what's called the drive-by check-in.
Yeah.
Where I know Republic Coffee has a program where if I check in or I'm the mayor, I get this special. Well, if I drive by Republic Coffee each day and just remember to check in while I'm driving by, I'll be accruing the points or whatever that app is using to get to that mayor status or the Duke status or whatever they've set that at.
Yeah.
And again, in our research, a lot of businesses say that's their hesitation with Foursquare and Gowalla and Facebook Places is because how do they really know the person was there?
Right.
And where we've connected all this is the QR code.
Mm-hmm.
The QR code is proof that you were physically in that location, because the GPS in your phone says you're in that location, and then you physically had to scan the QR code to confirm it.
Yeah.
And when we put those two pieces together, that's peace of mind for the business owner.
Gotcha.
That these people are actually loyal customers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so you're incentivized to check in there. Because I know what it may appear as a drive-by check-in for me is because I'm already out in the parking lot. I may be driving up out of the parking lot, and then I realize, oh, wait, I didn't check in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sitting there at a stoplight, you know, on that same block, and I check in.
Oh, yeah.
So it's legit. But now I'm incentivized to check in because I want I get loyalty points, you know, with the scan type of thing. And do you foresee, or on day one here, is there any social components to this?
We're going to do integration with Facebook and Twitter.
Okay.
And a lot of people think, oh, that sounds real simple. Actually, it's a lot of hard programming. And it's tying those two services together is possible. Can we get both of them integrated on version 1?
Mm-hmm.
By version 1.1, definitely they will both be integrated. Because we want people to share with their friends and followers on Facebook and Twitter hey, I just checked in here and got this.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how we'll grow as a business, because through social media, people will start realizing, hey, my friends are going to this business because they have this loyalty program and they're getting this deal.
Yeah.
I want in on that.
Man.
So we're going to be very heavily integrated into Facebook and Twitter.
Cool. I see like, you know, some whole flow going on, borrowing a term from electronics, mm-hmm. you know, where you get that punch card. And let's say, you know, somebody like Rachel, mm-hmm. you know, was going to go to Republic Coffee. I'd be able to, like, pass her some check-ins, you know. Mm-hmm. Not copies, but give them up or something. Do a kind of a social thing like that.
Yeah.
Be able to kind of its own little currency thing, these little holes, mm-hmm. you know. Speaking of all that, we had mentioned earlier that you've actually got a whole team of people working on
yes.
this together, and some of you can't name them all because of you know, potential conflicts. But what are some of the roles of the other folks that are on the team making this happen right now?
I mean, right now we're a 6-person team with me as acting CEO. We have 3 technical folks that are working the back-end architecture, the iPhone development, the Android development, and that group of people's working on all that development. Then on the other side, we have 2 folks that are working on the marketing plans and how we are going to acquire not only users, but businesses and special events and any other other groups that want to use this type of service
mm-hmm.
to increase loyalty
yeah.
out there.
Okay. And so you did mention iPhone and Android.
Yes.
Are these day one?
These will be day one launches. And that is something that has been, when I've talked to other folks about this, they're like, oh, well, I'm an Android user and I just know you're just going to do this for the iPhone. It says, no, that's stupid on our part. Mm-hmm. And
but you're not stupid.
No, we're not stupid, because the whole thing is we're very aware that, yes, iPhone is the smartphone out there,
mm-hmm.
but it would be very stupid of us to exclude Android, which is the fastest growing platform out there right now.
All right. Great. So coming up here in, just over a week, mm-hmm. there's this Launch Memphis event,
yes.
a 48-hour launch.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it that 48-hour launch can do for Stickered?
48-hour launch is going to be a very critical event for Stickered. And what we're going to be walking in there with is hopefully a very much a built-out skeleton on both mm-hmm. the technology side and on the marketing side. We already know that we're going to go into 48 hours looking for a UX developer to help us on design of the final design of the website, final design of the applications mm-hmm. to make it nice and pretty. And then finally, we might be looking for graphic designers to help us develop another part of the application where we might have some gameplay. And so we might have some design work that we need to help done on that.
Okay.
So we're walking in the 48 hours with, this is what we have.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we need to help us get over the finish line.
And that finish line this time, for the first time at 48-hour launch, is, I don't know, we got a little more to celebrate there with the help of Seed Hatchery this time mm-hmm. around. And so if a, I don't know, if one of these businesses coming out of 48-hour launch mm-hmm. gets the twinkle in Seed Hatchery's eye, they're up mm-hmm. for some seed money.
Yes. And on Seed Hatchery, actually, we were one of the first companies to apply to mm-hmm. Seed Hatchery. I believe that within 2 weeks of them launching their application, application process, we got our paperwork in. And so we're already in the Seed Hatchery application, but we're going into 48-hour launch knowing that whatever top business comes out of there will mm-hmm. also automatically. So we're sort of almost doubling down our chances
okay.
to try and get into Seed Hatchery, because the $15,000 will be great.
Yeah.
I mean, as a CEO of this company, I know how far $15,000 will get us, because mm-hmm. we've been bootstrapping a lot of this on a very small budget. And $15,000 would like be putting us on the interstate system. But where we think Seed Hatchery is really going to help us as a tech startup here in Memphis is all of the mentors that they're going to be able to offer up to us. Local business leaders that know a lot of stuff mm-hmm. about just general business and all,
yeah.
but also those entrepreneurs that have already gone down this path,
mm-hmm.
That have been there, done that, and can help guide us through the landmines that a startup company would have to go through. That, I believe, is actually would be even more beneficial to a startup company like Stickered.
Now, so, you know, the question is, well, I mean, these guys would be in for a piece of the pie.
Yes.
Right? What they're doing is they're helping get this company going. What they're off, what they're bringing to the table, the resource they're bringing to the table is some of this experience as well as some cash.
Yes.
And for that, they're getting a piece of ownership should this thing grow legs and get going.
Yes.
Okay. And when you mentioned doing the paperwork for Seed Hatchery, are we talking about your, like, normal government, you know, 20 days?
No. Kind of, I mean, for...
How many attorneys did you need to fill this thing out?
None.
Okay.
It was probably one of the simplest applications mm-hmm. one could fill out for what can be gained on the other end.
Yeah.
For the $15,000, for the mentoring, for all the work that Seed Hatchery is going to do for a startup to get them to the next step, which could be future angel investing, or if the business can actually be profitable on itself after the Seed Hatchery time, is amazing.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is if people are considering these seed funding like Seed Hatchery, they really need to just say, I'm not going to lose anything by filling out the application.
Yeah.
I don't have to pay them for filling out the application. You don't have to take the money in the mentoring if you're selected. Fill out the application.
Right, right. Sure. And you know, people kind of, you know, you hear a lot of horror stories. And I don't need the exact number, but are they getting more than half the pie?
No.
Okay, so then you're not losing control of your organization.
No.
I got one last question. There's all kinds of things. Maybe we can get you back after this thing is off and going, and you know, if you still have time for us, right? To come
we
back.
Will always have time for you, Dave.
Okay. Got to ask you about the name. Where does Stickered fit into this scheme?
Okay. Well, just the QR part is the QR code.
Oh, I see it now.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But the idea is the businesses for the loyalty programs are going to be given their sticker. So their QR sticker that they will show for their loyalty program. And we are going to build in, and I don't want to give away a lot here, we are going to have a little gaming element in the application that does other things with stickers.
Okay. Like throw them at pigs or something.
Well, we can't go that far. That might be a patent violation.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Aaron, hey, thank you so much. Great luck on 48 hours here in, 9 days or so.
Yep.
And get back with you soon.
Thank you very much, sir.
Well, I can't wait for this thing to come out.
I bet Rachel can't either.
You know.
I'm pretty pumped.
And go in and take advantage of some of these loyalty type things. Because I imagine, you know, you could do stuff like, even instead of just the loyalty type thing, you know, somehow offer couponing associated with this thing. It just goes on and on. It makes a nice hub for a lot of interesting things to happen. But looking forward to that Stickered thing.
Thank you.
Yeah. And hey, we've got to give one more plug out to the 48-hour launch, which if you hadn't heard about that, go over to launchmemphis.com and check it out. If you have an entrepreneurial idea, it's a great place to go get some traction and get some folks to help you grow some legs with this thing. If you just have some talent to offer and you want to be a part of somebody else's idea and work together with a team and make a lot of great connections and have really an unforgettable weekend, you'll want to check this thing out. I think it's the cost is as an individual, it's about 40 or 50 bucks.
I think it's
but really,
50 now.
You get more than that much amount of food in the course of the weekend. So it's a good deal. It's not a money raiser at all for Launch Memphis. It's a community builder. All right. So hey, what else is going on? I know we're running out of time here.
I had one thing that
saw
that was like the only piece of interesting news I could find today was Starbucks is offering mobile payments starting to disperse that service out through all of their chains.
That was good. I like that.
So as well as larger cups of coffee.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
The new size.
Oh, yeah, new size.
Yeah.
Gee whiz.
Goodness.
Which you can pay
bigger
for
than a
very handily with your smartphone or whatever.
Yeah, so you, instead of having a physical Starbucks card, you fill up, you know, you get an app or something like that mm-hmm. that has a card or a QR code or something like that on your phone, and they scan your phone instead of a card. And so you can add money to it just like you would a card and, you know, use it.
So this isn't like it's not based on like an RFID. Is that, I say that right?
Mm-hmm.
The right
abbreviation? No,
so it's just like an app.
Just like a card on your phone, but instead of a card, it's your phone.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
So they're rolling that out, and I didn't know anything about this new size of coffee. That sounds...
You should. You're there all the time.
It sounds...
It's a supersize kind of thing, right? I saw the word for it, and it's some crazy word. I don't know if it's really a word or not in any language.
It's got to be Italian.
I think it does
say venti now. I just say give me a large, you know.
Venti means 20.
Really?
So maybe they're using...
Oh, I see.
Like,
okay.
Quattro? I don't know.
I think it starts with an L. Who knows?
Largo.
Largo.
I think it stands for, I hope there's not a big line at the bathroom.
For real.
Yeah, after drinking that much coffee. Tell us real quick about Scavenger and the civil rights track that is out there live now for folks to endure here.
If you have a smartphone that can support Scavenger, which I believe right now is Android and iPhone, and they, are working on a BlackBerry app.
Check out the link.
We'll link to it on the LunaWeb blog. But if you download this app and you go to Trex and you're in the Memphis area, it will automatically show up. It's called the Mid-South Civil Rights Trek. And it's a few locations that we did some research on. They're all very significant to the civil rights struggle in this area. And if that is something that interests you, and it should, you should go check it out, because you get 2 points for each location. You just take a photo or leave a comment. We'd love to just generate some interest in this history with this app. With this trek.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm out there. I've got three steps in the trek already. Contributed some
Six
photos.
Points. Awesome.
You know, over the weekend. So if you run into me out there, you know, friend me up, as they say. So hey, with that, I guess we'll be wrapping it up.
All right. Thank you very much.
No news is good news.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
The Social Expedition podcast is produced at the offices of LunaWeb, a Memphis leader in web development and social media, online at lunaweb.com. LunaWeb is a full-service web agency meeting Memphis's online needs since 1995. Our theme music is The Year Before the War by Eric Maskell, available online at ericmaskell.com. For more information about the Social Expedition, including links mentioned during the podcast, visit socialexpedition.com. Thanks for listening.